Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 89 at 17,918. S&P 500 up 5 at 2,109. NASDAQ Composite up 17 at 5,145. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 3 basis points at 2.22%. Oil up $1.73 at $47.87 per barrel. Gold down $16.90 at $1,117.50 per ounce. Silver down 22 cents at $15.29. New orders for factory goods fell for a second consecutive month in September. The manufacturing industry continues to struggle under the weight of a strong dollar and deep spending cuts by energy companies. The Commerce Department said new orders for manufactured goods declined 1% in September after a downwardly revised 2.1% drop in August. Motor vehicle production, however, remains a bright spot as orders surged in September. Today, Fiat Chrysler reported its 67th straight month of year-over-year gains, selling 195,545 vehicles in the month of October, up 14.7% from a year earlier. Toyota said it sold more than 200,000 vehicles, which would be a double-digit rise from last year's 180,500. Toyota did not give a specific sales figure. General Motors, the nation's largest automaker, said it sold 262,000 vehicles during the month. That's a 15.9% increase from a year ago, and Ford Motor said it sold 205,000 vehicles in October, a 13.4% increase over a year ago. Ford's F-Series pickup continued to be the country's best-selling vehicle with sales of 65,000 during the month. U.S. auto industry's October sales now expected to top 18 million on an annualized basis. Federal regulators levied a penalty of up to $200 million on Takata, the maker of millions of faulty airbags, for failing to disclose the defect to regulators in a timely manner. Takata, being fined $70 million, could face an additional $130 million penalty if it fails to abide by its consent order with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which includes the appointment of an independent safety monitor. TransCanada has asked the U.S. State Department to suspend its permit application for the Keystone XL pipeline while it works through a review process in Nebraska. It was not immediately clear whether the administration would grant the request. The Nebraska Public Service Commission is reviewing the pipeline's route in the state after residents there challenged the state's approval process for the project, and TransCanada argued in a letter to Secretary of State John Kerry that it would be appropriate to delay any federal decision until the Nebraska route is settled. At issue is the northern leg of the pipeline, which would stretch 1,179 miles between Alberta and Nebraska. The administration has approved the project's southern leg. How much of this is due to the 2016 U.S. elections or the 2015 Canadian elections? Remember, Trudeau just ousted Harper. Well, that is so much speculation. More likely, it just doesn't make sense with oil prices under $50 a barrel. Also remember that last week, Shell said it would take a $2 billion write-off for its Carmon Creek oil sands project in Alberta. For now, and at least for the next year and a half, Keystone is dead. More than 40 environmental and social justice groups demanded a federal investigation of ExxonMobil. In a letter to Attorney General Loretta Lynch, the groups, citing recent news reports, accuse Exxon of intentionally deceiving the public about the risk of climate change to protect its profits, and suggest that ExxonMobil might be guilty of the same kind of fraud that the tobacco companies were found to have perpetrated when they hid the risk of smoking. For at least a couple of decades, Exxon provided funding to organizations that mounted attacks on climate science, even though the company's own scientist briefed management about the dangers of climate warming. Bank of America has agreed to sell responsibility for about $87 billion in money market funds and other products it manages to BlackRock in one of the money market industry's largest deals ever. BlackRock manages mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, private equity pools, and other investment products. BlackRock is already the world's largest money manager with about $4.5 trillion in assets. Mergers and acquisitions have trimmed the money funds industry from 75 providers in the U.S. last summer to just 67 this year, according to Crane Data. Terms of the transaction were not disclosed. Standard Chartered plans to cut 15,000 jobs and raise $5.1 billion by selling new shares, as its new chief executive set out a plan to restore profitability after 3 years of falling profits and strategic mistakes. Meanwhile, net income at UBS Group came in at $2.1 billion in the 3 months through September. And Freddie Mac, the mortgage buyer under government conservatorship, said it lost $475 million in the third quarter, first loss in 4 years, after earning $4.1 billion in the prior year quarter. Fed Chair Janet Yellen has turned over documents to House investigators related to the continuing probe of a 2012 leak of sensitive policy deliberations. Meanwhile, Yellen prepares to testify tomorrow about the Fed's role overseeing the financial industry. However, the Fed leak will likely be the focal point of the hearing for lawmakers who have attacked central bank officials for the way they handled the breach of confidential information. 2 decades after it started selling books online, Amazon launched its first ever brick-and-mortar retail store today called Amazon Books in a Mall in Seattle. The store will stock about 5,000 titles. Books will be selected based on customer ratings and pre-orders on Amazon.com. Store will also give the option to test drive devices such as Kindle Echo, Fire TV, Fire Tablet. Activision Blizzard is buying King Digital Entertainment for $5.9 billion, trying to strengthen its mobile games portfolio. The news comes as Activision posted third-quarter results that were an across-the-board beat, featuring its highest-ever third-quarter operating income. Activision, best known for the video game Call of Duty. King Digital, best known for Candy Crush Saga. I'm thinking they want a new game, Call of Candy. With its drug partnerships breaking down, Philidor, the specialty pharmacy tied to the Valeant Pharmaceuticals controversy, is shutting down operations. Valeant funneled 7% of its revenue through Philidor, even as it had an option to buy the specialty pharmacy and was already consolidating its results on its books. And the kicker is that Valeant is not the only pharmaceutical company doing this. It looks like it's an industry-wide practice in varying degrees. Ohio residents will decide today on whether to become the first Midwestern state to legalize personal and medical use of marijuana for those over 21 years old. If it passes, Ohio would become the fifth and largest state to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, following Alaska, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, as well as the District of Columbia. Middle-aged white Americans are dying off. Unlike every other age group in the country, unlike every other racial and ethnic group, unlike their counterparts in other rich countries, death rates in this group have been rising, not falling. That finding was reported by two Princeton economists, Angus Deaton, who last month won the 2015 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Science, and Ann Case, analyzing health and mortality data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and from other sources. they concluded that rising annual death rates among this group are being driven not by the big killers, like heart disease and diabetes, but by an epidemic of suicides and afflictions stemming from substance abuse, alcoholic liver disease, and overdoses of heroin and prescription opioids. However, the data cannot establish which came first, pain or painkillers. The authors found that from 1999 to 2013, the death rate among non-Hispanic whites aged 45 to 54 with a high school education or less rose, while it fell in other age and ethnic groups. Middle-aged blacks still have a higher mortality rate than whites, 581 per 100,000 compared to 415 for whites, but the gap is closing, and the rate for middle-aged Hispanics is far lower than for middle-aged whites at 262 per 100,000. They concluded that taken together, suicide, drugs, and alcohol explain the overall increase in deaths. The effect was largely confined to people with a high school education or less. In that group, death rates rose by 22%, while they actually fell for those with a college education. Dr. Case, investigating indicators of poor health, discovered that middle-aged people, unlike the young and unlike the elderly, were reporting more pain in recent years than in the past. Those with the least education reported the most pain and the worst general health. Economics may also play a role. The least educated also had the most financial distress. Median household incomes of white non-Hispanics began falling in the late 1990s, and the wage stagnation that began with the economic slowdown of the 70s continues to hit especially hard those with a high school or less education. Coupled with the changing nature of the financial risk Americans face when saving for retirement, as well as the recent financial crisis, economic insecurity may weigh heavily on U.S. workers, taking a toll on their health and health-related behaviors. We have long believed that economic growth leads to longer lifespans, and conversely, that when there is an economic breakdown, such as when the Soviet Union fell, lifespans are shortened. In post-USSR countries, the life expectancies of adult men fell by about 7 years. The researchers point out there could be profound implications for Social Security disability insurance as well as Medicare. The research estimates nearly 500,000 lives were needlessly lost from 1999 to 2013. In a commentary to the Deaton case analysis, two Dartmouth economists, Ellen Mira and Jonathan Skinner, wrote, "It is difficult to find modern settings with survival losses of this magnitude." We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.